There isn't much of a sign at the Virginia Center for the Creative Arts, but you'll know it by the white flag with black spots that hangs out front and the warning to drive with care. Cows and cars share the road. This is Mount St. Angelo, a 400-acre farm in the rolling hills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, a place where artists from around the world come to stretch their creative muscles. Sheila Pleasance is director of Artist Services.
Because it's an old estate dating from the end of the 19th century, and there were plantings that were brought over from England, it has a lot of really special species. It's a beautiful, beautiful estate. And there's a lot of inspiration that, you know, those of us in central Virginia, we see these incredible vistas all the time, but we've got people coming from all over the world who come and see these vistas, and it just becomes the landscape of their creativity.
On her wall is an organizational masterpiece, a timeline of the year showing which artists are coming and when. About 1,000 apply and about 400 are chosen annually to come for up to 8 weeks. The center will prepare their meals, do their laundry, provide them a place to sleep, and a place to play.
The writers have basically office working spaces. The composers have baby grands in their studios as well as desk working spaces. Visual artists have sinks, skylights, more rough, kind of down and dirty spaces.
Hi.
Martin.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Jazz musician and composer Martin Hundley arrived with a list of things he hoped to do, but he also planned to follow his muse.
A lot of the work that I do in the city is kind of deadline driven, but here time starts to unfold in a different way and you can pursue things that catch your interest and see where that work takes you.
In addition to jamming on his saxophone, he's been playing the guitar, transcribing the music of Coleman Hawkins, working on an article about jazz studies in higher education, recording some pieces of his own, writing for a quintet.
And I like the trains that come by. I've been making recordings of trains and incorporating some field recordings into compositions.
Many of the artists work in an old dairy barn, transformed into large studios or cozy offices, like the one where Dorianne Locks, a poet and professor from North Carolina State, is settling in.
How long does it take you to get into the rhythm of this place?
Oh, I'm here, honey.
The very first time I ever went to a writer's retreat, it took a while. I mean, I literally curled up on a bed in a little fetal position and said, I can't believe I'm here. You mean people are going to make my lunch and my I don't deserve this.
But this is her third trip to the VCCA, and she knows it will be a productive 2 weeks.
No phone, no laundry, no mail, no neighbors knocking on your door. There's something psychological that goes on. When you're home, you're easily distracted. Can you imagine sitting in this room and just reading all day?
Her husband, Joseph Millar, agrees. For him, the center is a place where he's free to be a poet.
Now I'm in a place where I'm supposed to write. Because especially with poetry, there's something a little bit transgressive about it. Like you're sneaking something. I had a blue-collar background. I'd be writing poems in my truck. I was a telephone guy. And nobody knew I was doing it. And so if they would come near the truck, I'd cover up the notebook with a newspaper or something so they'd think I was reading the paper.
And he'll make time to commune with the farm animals that graze around this country colony of artists.
I love the black horse, and he loves me. He remembers me when I come back. And this time when I got here, I didn't think they were here. They were way down the hill in the creek, and I thought they were gone. And I brought all these carrots.
The center also offers a chance to meet with other artists who spend many long hours working alone. Annika Putz came from Berlin and was thrilled to meet fellow painter Jim McCarroll, nearly 50 years her senior.
I love the way he handles colors and light. And then also the combination of having a lot of space in the painting and being very detailed. Also, it's interesting to speak to someone so much older and experienced and see how his work developed.
For others, Amherst is the place to confront your greatest fear. The inability to produce. Elizabeth Kadetsky, a professor at Penn State, is here to work on her memoir. She's been to the center 6 times now, has written at VCCA's center in France, and taken part in an exchange program in Malta. But she still remembers the warning of a fellow.
She said, it's like a combination of summer camp and the gulag. You know, you think it's going to be great, and then you show up, and it's just you and your work and no distractions.
But Dorianne Locke says writers at the center encourage one another to just do it.
Even if it's terrible, it doesn't matter. You're writing, you know. And one of those days, you know you're going to hit something. It's just like anything else. If you just keep at it, the muse will finally take pity on you and give you a poem, you know, free of charge.
Do you have anything that you've written here that you want to share with us?
I was listening to James Taylor on the way up. And he has this song, and I can't remember the title of the song, but he does this little riff, more than, I don't know if you're familiar with that song, but I thought, what a great riff, maybe I'll try that. So I just started writing, you know, looking around VCCA, more than May, with its lawnmower birds, sharp yellow beaks parting the long grass, they find and eat what's beneath, dank and cool, they pull it up, and the wriggling light slides down their throats. More than morning light, wicking up from the bristling backs of the hills, spreading across the sky. More than vines strangling the pines, the sumac and wild dogwood, softening the wire fence, hiding each bloodletting barb.
Outside, other artists have built a fountain, painted the walls of a swimming pool, and erected eye-catching sculptures. Again, Administrator Sheila Pleasance.
I can remember one time coming into work and seeing a fully made, wonderful, pristine bed in the middle of a field. And, you know, they're just incredible moments that make you stop and look.
Mealtimes are a chance to stop and listen, to exchange ideas with other residents. And after dinner, artists can show their work while writers read aloud. Seattle author Barty Kirshner shared something from her new novel, Tulip Season, a mystery featuring an amateur detective from the Indian American community.
Have you heard? Karina is missing. Missing? Mitra felt shaken the way a plant must feel when uprooted. What are you talking about?
Fellows are able to read email and make phone calls, but they're discouraged from spending much time checking in with the outside world. Catherine Gammon, a writer from Pittsburgh, is happy to oblige.
The world is in a lot of trouble, and when I'm at home, I pay attention to that trouble. And in fact, here at first, I have to say I had a little bit of a feeling of, are we fiddling while Rome burns? But then I realized, of course, that the work that people are doing is actually, it's not in retreat from that world. And, you know, we had a wonderful reading a few nights ago of a playwright about a woman coming back from Iraq and the trauma of adjustment. And it was so powerful, you know, and she was able to finish that here.
The center hopes to help other artists finish their work, but Executive Director Gregory Allgaier-Smith says it's a struggle to get general contributions to keep VCCA alive.
It's kind of like having a body that's on the outside very physically fit and, you know, big muscles and all that kind of stuff, but has a bad heart. If the heart goes, then the rest goes too. So last year there were 400 fellows that were served, either here or in France or through the exchanges we have internationally. And it takes a budget of almost $1 million a year to do that.
Fortunately, the center gets donations from many of the more than 4,000 artists who've come here. Some have made it big and now live in places like New York, but still think fondly of their days in rural Virginia. I'm Sandy Houseman.